Let me like pretend this is announcement and kind of introduction at the same time. I'm starting a series called Empowered, and looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? And so we're going to do that, but then part of the announcement, and so I've got kind of, I'm going to call it a trilogy, you know, that's because that's cool, right? That means there's going to be three messages. But then August 1st is going to be the last Sunday that I'm with you for the month of August, because I'm going to be taking an extended time off during that, and I'm really using that. Yes, we're taking a family vacation, but also just a really spiritual retreat for myself. God has been speaking, and I expect him to continue speaking about the future of Life Worship Center. So I'm asking you to pray for me during that time, that God would just really direct the steps and who we are and where we're going and how to get there, all of those things, okay? So that's going to happen. But August 1st, I want to respond to this idea of Empowered with, I know that's not the most original title, but I'm going to call it Upper Room Sunday. And so in the past, we've done like Night of Worship, but we've taken the Night of Worship and we put it into our morning services. So Sunday morning, August 1st, we're really just going to worship and wait on the Lord. And so I'm looking forward to that. I mean, it doesn't mean I won't say something at some point, but it's going to be just let's respond and wait on the Lord. If he said that he would give us his Holy Spirit, let's just really pursue him and let it be poured out. So could you be praying about that and just go with expectation and anticipation about August 1st, about just having a great time together. You know, part of it is we're going to work on a couple new worship songs. We're going to be getting together Friday and we'll workshop some new songs. But it's not about new songs. It's about responding to his word and believing for his promise, okay? So that's on August 1st. But until then, we've got three Sundays counting today to kind of look at this idea of empowered. The Holy Spirit gives us power. So that gives us a couple questions, like you can do the whole newspaper thing, okay, when, where, why, what, how, and all of those kind of things. You know, the why, I think we understand that, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but I want to look kind of more specifically, like, what are we empowered? How are we empowered? Can we answer those kind of questions? Power to do what? All right? So every object lesson / metaphor breaks down at some point, but I thought I would talk just for a minute about the idea of a cell phone. Carl, hold up your cell phone. You got it right there. How many of you got one of those cell phones? Raise your hand if you got one of those. Okay, most of us. I know of at least one guy here who's a diehard who still doesn't have a smartphone. You don't have to raise your hand, but there's a few of you out there that are still holding on, like it's too hard, and I don't know how to do that. And that, but here I want to ask you this. Well, two things as I talk about a cell phone and the idea of spirit being power. How many know your cell phone without a charge is useless? It can do a lot of things, right? Like cell phones are like literally computers in our hands. You can ask it any question in the world and it can get you an answer. And like you can have access to the satellites around the world. You know, I mean, the unlockable potential behind a cell phone is overwhelming. But without a charge, it's useless. And I just wonder about that in our lives, right? We've been given the Holy Spirit. And I know, so every metaphor breaks down. I sometimes don't love the idea of talking about the Holy Spirit as like a battery, okay? So, because he's the person of the Trinity, and I don't want to limit him in that way, okay? But at the same time, there is a truth that every believer has been given the Holy Spirit with the batteries in us, but it's useless if we're not in relationship. Like can I take to like John chapter 15, when Jesus says, if you abide in me, then you'll produce fruit. If you're plugged in, you can do stuff. It's like your cell phone. If there's a charge, it does things. But apart from me, not plugged in, you can do nothing. Now, the other side of it is, just exploring this cell phone idea, This is just my introduction, and I'm already getting good, right? The other side of it is, okay, so back to the idea, some of you, a lot of you raised your hands, and I told you there's at least one in here that's still holding on to the flip phone, doesn't want to have to learn. How many of you were there at one point? Like when cell phones came out, you said, I'm not going to do it. It's too hard, right? How many of you were there at one point? Like you, and now you know how to do it, right? You asked your five-year-old grandson and he helped you out, right? Like you at least know how to make a phone call and maybe you could even get on Facebook or whatever it may be. But there is something about learning to use what's available. Learning to develop the potential that is there. And I would dare say that the church is falling short of living the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their lives. We're operating in a flip-flown spirituality when we've been given complete access to unlock these spiritual senses, if you will, okay? And so don't hear this as weird kind of thing, but when because of the Holy Spirit, let me like read my main idea. And I'll say this, as I go through this message, I'm going to look at my paper a lot more. I got a lot of scriptures. This might be a little more like a teaching, make you think kind of thing. But there is a response to it, all right? There is a creating, when you have his word and the understanding, then that's how you can pray and that's what you can believe for. And that's the change and the growth that he wants to develop in your life. But I want to kind of lay that out, if I can, just a little bit. But this main idea that I have here is that the Holy Spirit in us unlocks a greater understanding of the spiritual world around us. The Holy Spirit in us unlocks a greater understanding of the spiritual world around us. So I'm calling this empowerment part one here, empowered spiritual senses, okay? So spiritual senses. First of all, this idea of being empowered, let me just lay the groundwork here. I'm going to touch on things that I've preached entire messages on, but they're foundational, so I'll just mention them in process. So Luke 24:49, want some of the last words that Jesus said to his disciples. And the last words in Luke intentionally, because Luke is also the author of Acts, and so he leaves us on a cliffhanger that is ultimately fulfilled. Like you ever watch one of those TV shows, you know, where it leaves you on the cliffhanger, like the season finale, and then you have to wait until the next year. Well, Luke does that with his gospel. He writes Luke, and he leaves us with this cliffhanger, Jesus saying to them, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. That's and we'll come back to that statement in another one of these messages, but this idea that there is the promise of the power that to come. Well, I told you that was the cliffhanger, and then the fulfillment when the next season started and the next book in the book of Acts, which really picks up right after that. And we'll jump to Acts 1:4 through verse 8. It says, on one occasion, while he was still eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, there's a whole lot of things I really like about that passage. But a couple things to point out. One, and I've said this before, I think every time I read this verse, I'm probably going to say it again. I love, it was just kind of a new revelation to me, that word but, because I've been quoting Acts 1:8 my whole life as a good Pentecostal, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But that word but comes in contrast to the disciples. They want to talk about when's the end coming. When's the kingdom? When's this all going to get better? When's it all going to change? And they want answers and they want certainty. And Jesus changes the subject and says, it's none of your business. And that but actually stands in contradiction to what they want to talk about, with Jesus saying, here's what you should be talking about. But you will receive power to be witnesses. And that's the other side of it, what Jesus wants to talk about, what he wants his disciples, what he wants his church to be about is his mission. So we say, why are we empowered? It is for the mission, to be witnesses, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to represent the kingdom of God in this world. And I know, I'm not doing justice to that phrase, but just know, everything that the empowerment of the Spirit is about mission, continuing the mission and the work and the message of Jesus Christ. That's what you and I are about. That's why we exist in this world. Jesus could have saved us and took us away, but he didn't. He left us here on purpose, for purpose. Right? To share that message. And I guess the little side of that is the Holy Spirit's not about making you feel good and making you happy. The Holy Spirit's not about having a good time or yielding some kind of power for your own pleasure and enjoyment or fame or whatever selfishness you can attach to it. It's about his mission. That's what empowerment's about. So that's kind of the why. And so that's just setting the stage for the entire series. But as we look specifically, the idea of spiritual senses, I'm not going to do a justice to the entire 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when we read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But there is this idea that in the Holy Spirit, there are gifts. There are things to be opened, right? I use the word unlock, and we get a little uncomfortable with that word. But gifts you open. Gifts can be given, and it's up to you what you do with the gift. And so there's this list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let's read that real quickly in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Okay, so in this passage, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit that are listed. And like I said, my purpose of this series is not to do the entire teaching on the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Like, there's been good things about it, but let me just bring it up here before I get started, if you will. Typically, now this is not like out of the Word of God, but a lot of people have broken those 9 gifts. You know what? 9 is divisible by is 3. And you can put them in 3 groups of 3 that kind of fit together, okay? And those 3 different groups, if you look at that list, one, we call it the utterance, meaning, and that's not a word we use, we just think of a cow when you hear the word utterance. Anyway, the utterance gifts means it has to do with speaking. And so that would be speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, okay? So those are all things that have to do with speaking. All right, and we're going to talk about being empowered in that sense, inspired speech. And then the other one would be, I forget what the official category is, but the power gifts, I guess, if you will. And that's typically when you talk about gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the gift of miracles. Okay, so those are the power gifts, if you will. That's something happens, there's action that takes place, okay? And then the third category is the revelation gifts. And I guess that's the one I'm kind of zeroing in. If we look at this particular list, and I'm going to reference these 3 gifts that are said, but there are what we typically, I read the NIV, so it said message of wisdom, but we typically call it a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. And then the NIV said distinguishing of spirits, or discernment is the other word that is used for that one. So it's kind of this revelation, this unlocking these spiritual senses, if you will, beyond what we experience in our physical senses. There is spiritual senses, and that's where I kind of want to go here this morning, is talk about this idea. If the Holy Spirit's in us, it can lead to a greater understanding to the spiritual world around us. How many know this world is more than the chair you're sitting on? It's more than waking up, going to work, and going to bed. There are things that we don't see and we don't know. And I'm not telling you that the goal is to know everything. I don't think we could handle it. Like, as much as you say, I want my eyes to be open, I don't know if we could handle seeing everything. And the Word of God talks about seeing in part. And one day we'll see fully, and that's on the other side, okay? That's not now. But there is something in the Holy Spirit in developing that relationship and abiding in Him, being filled with Him, in tune to Him, filled and charged. I'm still thinking of the cell phone kind of thing. When we develop that within ourselves, we can develop those spiritual senses. So when I say senses, how many know there are five senses? So they are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Well, COVID has eliminated taste and smell, all right? So we're gonna throw those ones off our list. I guess I could make arguments for taste and smell and spirit in a spiritual sense. There are scriptures to do that, but I'm not gonna take the time to do that. But I do wanna look at the other three: hearing, seeing, and feeling, if you will. And I'm gonna be generous with the idea of feeling. I'm gonna talk about more the other side of like sensing in our spirit, what that means. That really comes to the discernment side. Okay, so let's start with hearing. Okay, start with hearing, and I know it doesn't fit perfectly, but if I take those three gifts that we looked at in 1 Corinthians 12, I think of this as the word of wisdom. You know, hearing what God says. And all that being said, I do not hear audible voice from God. We heard the word here this morning, this idea of a still small voice. I don't even hear whispers from God, if you will. But there is a sense that I hear. Does that make sense? When God is speaking. And this word of wisdom is to tune into that voice of the Lord. And the way we would see that work in a church setting is maybe, God would say something as far as direction or even our word of encouragement could include that, like his word being applied to right now kind of thing in the prophetic sense. We could put that in the word of wisdom, or I've been in board meetings where, believe it or not, I believe there were God moments where that, you know what, I'm not that smart. I'm not that smart. I couldn't come up with that. But you know what? When you tune into the Holy Spirit and his leading and his guiding, like, you can tune into that, the voice of the Lord. And I don't know how that works. Like, you hear me having a hard time explaining how it works in my life, right? Like I could say it comes from my gut, or there's just kind of a knowing, or there's a sense, and one of those little tests that I have, if you will, is that the voice of the Lord. It is kind of that. I'm not that smart, and I don't think I could come up with that by myself, so that's probably the Lord, right? And that can't be like the only test, but that's one of them that's kind of out there. Is this me, or is that God? I was like, you know what? I wouldn't come up with that by myself. That's probably God speaking in that way. So John 16, verses 12 through 14. In this upper room discourse, when Jesus was teaching his disciples, he began to talk about when he goes, the Holy Spirit's going to come. The other counselor, comforter, helper, all of those words can be used right there. I like helper the best as we look at this. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And here's what he says. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. How many know Jesus could not just unload everything on the disciples? Like, you can't handle all of that. But he says this about the work of the Holy Spirit. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So I connect this to this idea of the word of wisdom, that we can tune in to this voice of the Spirit and know what God says, what God wants, what God is revealing to us. That's the work of the help of the Holy Spirit. He is, I like the word that he will guide you into all truth. Anybody ever been like on a, like a guided tour? That's a whole lot better than when you try to do it on your own, right? Like if you just wandered around a museum, like you get a little bit out of it. But how many know when you got a guide, you get a whole lot out of it? They know everything. If you got a good guide, right? They take you to all the best spots. They give you all the best and pertinent information. Whether it's a museum or a nature trail or whatever it may be, you know, without a guide, you might get lost. The Holy Spirit is our guide, and tuning into that voice. So I told you that this would, so Trish in her word talked about, this is the way, walk in it. So that comes from Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I think that's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He is our guide. Which way do I go? Like a lot of people in life are just guessing. But we've been given the Holy Spirit to help us to know where we need to go. This is the way. This is the way. You'll hear the voice behind you. Like we need to claim that for our lives. Lord, I want to hear that voice. I want to develop that spiritual sense so that I can hear and know what it is you're calling me to. Revelation 3:6. So this is actually a refrain of all of the letters that are written to the churches in Revelation. So this is one of seven times because there were seven different letters to the seven different churches. But he says, this is the words of Jesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If that's in Revelation, that tells me the Spirit's talking to his church. I'm going to say that again. That tells me that the Spirit is talking to his church. We're the church, by the way. Church is not a building, it's people. The people of God, the body of Christ, the Spirit is speaking. And the challenge over and over there in Revelation, if you have ears, would you hear what he's saying? And for some reason, because of abuse or because of our carnality and our simplicity, we have gotten away from the idea that we need to hear the voice of the Spirit. And we've called it weird and we've called it wacky, and but we need it. We need to hear what he's saying. Now, it's not all spooky and weird. You want to know one of the most obvious ways that the Spirit speaks? It's by the Word of God. He is the author. The Scripture clearly teaches that he inspired men to write the exact words. It was God-breathed. And so he's the author of Scripture. When he says he'll guide you into all truth, he's going to guide you into what he said. That's objective. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But there is a subjective side to the voice of the Spirit as well. When we talk about the prophetic, when we talk about hearing the inner voice. But how many know it will always line up with what he's already said? Okay, that's the standard. And we have to realize that subjective voice, we can sometimes get it wrong. Now that seems awful. Like I have non-Pentecostal friends who have a hard time with the idea of the gift of prophecy, and they say that doesn't exist because the Bible's complete now. But the Spirit is still speaking, okay? He's still speaking. And Scripture says, so there is a difference. A prophetic word is not the same as the Word of God. Because the Word of God is absolute, perfect, true. Prophets can get it wrong. Flesh can get in there, and I'm not saying it's evil agenda or anything like that. It's just sometimes we, as people trying to figure out how to use our phones, anybody ever messed up using your phone? Like, My kids like to go into their grandparents' phones and change their back screen, or Larry's, and change their pictures because they know they don't know how to change it. And so there's weird pictures of their faces on them that they don't know how to take off of there. I don't know what that has to do with where I was right here, but... And you know what? There's teaching in Scripture. And as much as Paul introduces the idea of the gifts of the Spirit, when he gets into 1 Corinthians 14, he talks about when a prophetic word is given that it needs to be judged by the church, that there needs to be discernment. Is that what God's saying? Now, that seems really good, but you know what? The implication of that is there's such thing as somebody coming up saying, thus says the Lord, maybe not being exactly right. And so just because somebody says, God said or God told me, you have a responsibility to discern, is that the voice of the Lord? And I'm glad that we have people here who listen to the voice of the Spirit and speak. I really appreciated both Trish and Linda this morning. Like those words, God was using those words. The response on those who wanted a new day, like that's something God wanted to do right here and right now. And Trish, lining up with what we're talking about even now, this idea of resting in what's been provided, that His Holy Spirit in us can give us a better understanding if we rest and trust in that. So let me issue a warning when it comes to hearing. This is in Hebrews 3. It's literally a warning in Hebrews chapter 3. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice. If I just stop there for a second, I like that. That means He's talking today. Today. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. This is a reference to the Israelites. We know they missed it a lot. Where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation and said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So in that last verse, I think there's this idea of if you're not hearing the voice of the Lord, what might be some issues? And I know there's probably a whole message about this, but I just want to throw this in as a warning here as we finish up this first point. It says that see to it that none of you has sinful or unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. And so in our disobedience, we can dull the voice of God in our life. It doesn't take too long of the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, and you go in the other way for you to get away from that voice. For you to tune out that voice. This makes me look like a bad guy, but this is for you, Mickey. You know, everybody says you got a newborn and you're never going to sleep again kind of thing, you know, because they cry. It only took me one night to tune out the babies crying in the middle of the night. One night, and I had learned to tune out the babies. Is that not true? I don't know how many times you fed the babies in the middle of the night, but I just kept on snoring. I'm telling you, you can harden your heart. You can close your ears. And what we're praying for is the reverse. Just open my ears. Because, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to follow the guide. I want you to help me. I want the word of wisdom. I want to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church, to me, in my life. It has everything to do with His word, and it has everything to do with your prayer life. I mean, no, praying is a conversation, so it's not just you talking. It's you listening. Has everything to do, not just with your prayer life, but it has everything to do with, as we were singing, let us become more aware of your prayer. It has to do with living in awareness that His Spirit is with us and the Spirit is speaking. Like it's in the middle of the day at work and your busyness that you can tune in to the voice of the Lord. All right, I'm getting bogged down in one point, so let me keep going. Number two, That's hearing. Number two, let's talk about seeing. And I'm connecting this one to the word of knowledge in that list that comes out of 1 Corinthians and the gifts of the Spirit. The word of knowledge is seeing something. Like the word revelation itself means unveiling. Like it's been there, but then like a curtain's open. That's really kind of the definition of revelation itself, is the idea of God opening the curtain and to see beyond. So when we sing that, open the eyes of my heart. I forgot to read this verse, but go all the way back to the Ephesians 1, 17 through 18 at the very top, or third verse in. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we just kind of talked about being able to hear so that you may know him better. And then verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know. And then there's a whole list of, there's a good 3-point message in there. The hope he has called you to, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then verse 19 is his power at work in us who believe. That's a good, but this idea of that's where the phrase open the eyes of my heart comes from, is this verse right here that says, may your heart be enlightened so that you can know, so that you can see. Pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that there would be an unveiling in our lives. And so the word of knowledge, the way that operates is knowing something you wouldn't have otherwise known, that it's been revealed to you by God. I think the most obvious example comes from Jesus and the woman at the well. So you remember that story when Jesus says to the woman at the well, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus is like, you're right. You've had 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now, you're not married to, kind of thing. And it became a pivotal thing. Like her testimony literally was going back to the village, come here a man who told me everything I've done. That in that moment, the Spirit speaking in that way, and we say, well, that was Jesus. But no, you know what? It happened in the disciples' life. Jesus said, the same things I did, you will do. And he said, you'll continue that ministry. And we've seen it operate. A lot of what Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about in the corporate body. But one of my little Pentecostal soapboxes is I understand that Scripture talks about what happens in a corporate setting. And absolutely, that's important. And it talks about doing it decently and orderly. But I think the understood and what we miss is that more so what happens throughout the book of Acts and in the life of the ministry of Jesus is not about what happens in a service, but what happens in the on the road, if you will, or in the camp. Like, how many miracles did Jesus do in the sanctuary? Like, less than 5 in the synagogue. Where were most of them? On the side of a road somewhere. On his way to somewhere else. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man. It didn't happen in the temple where they were going to pray. It happened before they ever got there. That's where God's Spirit was moving and God's Spirit was working. And I think we've missed it a lot as Pentecostals because we spent a whole lot of time teaching about how it's supposed to happen. And I'm not trying to minimize that, okay? Because it's there in Scripture and that's important. And we've done teaching on that here at Life Worship Center. And we continue to encourage and want to see the gifts in operation in our service, okay? Absolutely. But I tell you what, there's a greater need, and that's for us to actually walk in the gifts outside of the service. Does that make sense? And so when we talk about this idea of seeing, it's not just, yes, we've seen it in a corporate setting. Maybe there's a sense of even what Linda said, had a little bit of word of knowledge mixed in with it. This idea that there's some here today that have just been struggling in their own stuff. And this is me paraphrasing, but you need to lay it down and come to Jesus kind of thing. And there may be very specifically, there was a lot of us that responded, okay, to that. But there may have been very specifically, maybe just a word that was said in that. It's like, that's exactly who I am. That's exactly what's going on in my life. And God used that. There was an unveiling and the sharing of that. But how many know it doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning? God can use that. Now, don't start getting weird on your neighbors and your family. That's not what I'm telling you. Well, the Lord told me, I saw what you did last night. You could really mess with people. Okay, don't do that. And yet, the Lord can really give you spiritual insight on how to minister to people, to really understanding what it is that they're going through that maybe nobody else sees. It's a spiritual perception, a spiritual seeing that takes place. I think my favorite example of this is the story of Elisha's servant in 2 Kings 6:14 through 17. So the king of Aram so you want to talk about word of knowledge. Elisha kept getting a word of knowledge about where the king was going to attack, and then they were ready. And so the king of Aram's like, how is this happening? And they said, well, there's this prophet that keeps telling where we're going to be and what we're going to do. And so the king of Aram's like, we need to take him out. And so he sends not just a little bit of army, like a lot of army, and said, they finally find out he's living in Dothan. And so he sends all of his chariots and horses. So that's where we pick it up in verse 14. So then he, that's the king of Aram, sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. So just think about that. There's Elisha and his servant just kind of holed up in their little house there. And, you know, it's been kind of fun, you know, just messing with the enemy from a distance, right, in the quietness. You wake up and you're surrounded by this powerful army, okay? And so most of us are Elisha's servant, let's be honest, right? Oh, my Lord, what do we do? Like, talk about freak out panic moment. That's right here, based on what he sees. And Elisha says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. I love that because I just imagine Elisha's servant like, Elisha, you are off your rocker. Elisha, you don't know how to count. Let me help you. Me, you, two. Army, we're going to die. And Elisha's sitting there. There's more with us than are with them. And so here's what Elisha says in verse 17. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. I love that phrase. I guess that's kind of where we're going to end up today. Open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He saw in the spiritual realm. He saw beyond the physical realm. And I don't know, like that's a scary thing to pray, because once again, I'm not sure we can handle seeing all of it. But how many know there is a spiritual realm that we often live oblivious and ignorant to? And I think his Holy Spirit in us wants to develop a better sense of what's happening in that place. And I'm not saying anybody's going to get it right. Ephesians 6:12, which talks about the armor of God, says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not just with what you can see and what you can touch, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I know that sounds mystical and weird, but there's a reality that's greater than this reality. How many know heaven's more real than what you're living right now? That's good news, because this isn't all that great sometimes, right? And the good news is this is not all there is. But in the same sense, in this life that we're living, there's a warfare that is taking place. There's angels, there's demons, there's darkness, there's the Holy Spirit at work. And we need to see and understand more of that. And we can only do that because of his Holy Spirit in us. And so what does it look like to pray that prayer? Open his eyes. Open my eyes so that I might see. It's amazing how I think a prayer like that, all of a sudden we see others differently. We see our circumstances differently. If we can begin to tap into seeing beyond flesh and blood. open my eyes so that I may see. If I issue a warning here, Jesus talked a lot about spiritual blindness, talked a lot about the Pharisees being blind, as much as we read the warning in Hebrews about don't close your ears if he's speaking today. I thought about the Apostle Paul. So, you know, how many of you ever sang the song, I Saw the Light? I saw the light. Or you've at least sang Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. Like that metaphor that is used of a spiritual experience of that we our eyes were closed in a sense spiritually. We didn't know. We didn't understand. We didn't perceive. But in Christ and encountering him, being filled with the Spirit, there is an eye-opening experience, if you will, a heart-opening experience. And so the I Saw the Light, I always thought that it's got to be based on the life of Apostle Paul, his testimony. He thought he was doing the right thing by persecuting Christians, right? He thought he was somehow serving God. He's on the road to Damascus. He's blinded by a bright light, encountered by Jesus, and it actually blinds him. He's sent, and then Ananias, God calls Ananias to come and pray for him. And I think there's something. Here's verses... Acts 9, 17 through 18. So Paul's blind, he's seen Jesus, and he realizes everything he's been doing is wrong, and it's here that he's going to receive the call that's going to flip the script on his life, that no longer is he going to persecute Christians, but he's going to become the great champion of the gospel to the Gentiles. He's going to be the guy who writes 13 books of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Like, he's a big deal in the kingdom of God and his plan. And it happens. And it has to do with his sight. And as much as this is a physical thing that's happening, it's a spiritual thing that's happening in Paul, right? So then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I wonder if there could there be a connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and seeing? Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again, and he got up and was baptized. Now, I understand this is me spiritualizing something that's very physical, but I think the evidence plays out in the rest of Paul's life, that the scales that fell off his eyes, no, he no longer saw the Christians as the one in the wrong. He saw Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he dedicated his life to that. And he began to see like he's never seen before. And I just wonder how much of his church has scales on their eyes, operating in blindness and only seeing flesh and blood. Maybe his church needs to pray, open our eyes that we may see who's with us. Number three, let's talk about feeling. And I'm going to do this one quick. This one's shorter. I think this one falls under the gifts of the Spirit, discernment. So discernment or distinguishing of spirits, it's being able to tell the difference and sensing. So I know it's not necessarily the touching sense that we understand, but it is the feeling of like kind of knowing, right? Knowing what we wouldn't have known otherwise. Some would call it like intuition or insight. All of these overlap a little bit, right? The hearing, seeing, feeling, like they're related, but it's this idea of being attuned to the spirit realm and the Spirit of God and what he's saying, what he's showing, sensing what he wants and his will. How many of you, this happened to me, it happens to me a lot, but Butch, you're sitting back there. You told me a testimony last week, and I don't remember the testimony entirely what you shared, but I remember him just telling me the testimony, and it was a God thing that he was telling it, and the hairs like stood up on my arm. Like it was like the Holy Spirit chills. How many of you have ever had like the Holy Spirit chills kind of thing, right? Or have you ever felt like the fire of the Holy Spirit? Now, and I know we can get weird when we just focus on feelings. It's not about getting goosebumps. It's not about your hair standing up. And the reverse is true, right? In the discernment, like you sense the presence of God, but how many of you have also had the eerie feeling, darkness, right? There's a spiritual reality to that as well. And so discernment is developing that gift to really sensing the presence of God and sensing the presence of darkness, the presence of evil. And I think you'd say, all right, let me wrap stuff up. I know I didn't do much on that point right there. But what's some practical, like what would you do with the gift of discernment? I got two things at the ending here where stuff starts with the same letter, okay? I think if we develop, yes, the gift of discernment, but I think we could apply this to all of them. Here's the three things that just because I had to do the three letter things. I think it helps us on how to pray. How to pray. When you can have a, like if you sense darkness, you know to rebuke evil, right? If you sense the Spirit of God moving and working and wanting to do something, you know how to pray. And so the discernment will help you on how to pray. And that is one of the areas, if you're ever doing like some kind of altar ministry with somebody and praying, that's where a gift of discernment really comes in. He'll lead, and it partners with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. All three of those work together, but it'll help you on how to pray. So that's number one. Number two is how to proceed. And that's related to how to pray, but it helps us on how to act. And I'm telling you, sometimes you encounter people and circumstances that are one thing in your experience, but if you could see beyond and if you could sense beyond, if you will, all of a sudden you would act differently. I don't know if it's happened to you in your life, but God's given me times in my life where people have said and done things that if in the natural, I should just be angry and respond very negatively, but through sensing, he's allowed me to have a sense of compassion and understanding how much hurt they're carrying and where they're coming from. I mean, that's a God thing. You don't do that on your own, right? But when you begin to discern, you know what? That's coming from a place of hurt that God wants to minister healing and wholeness to. We'd be a lot better as the body of Christ if we discerned how to proceed, how to act. Okay, so how to pray, how to proceed. And then third, I would say how to partner. There is something about being able to sense, and I know you could get weird on this, okay, so New Age stuff would talk about reading people's aura and all that. I'm not talking about that, but I tell you what, when you get in the room with a fellow believer, there is something that agrees with your spirit. And all of a sudden you can trust them, you can share with them, you can partner with them. Now the reverse is true. You can sense the darkness in someone. And you say, you know what? I'm going to be cautious in my partnership. Okay, is that fair? So some practical ways in the developing the spiritual sense, if you will, and feeling and discernment is how to pray, how to proceed, and how to partner. Okay, let me close this out. Matthew 13:13 through 16. It's in the middle of the parable of the sower. It's repeated four times in Scripture. The first time is in Isaiah. It's actually a pretty negative thing. It's God's calling. Remember the whole vision of Isaiah, you know, and the throne room of God, and then hearing the question of heaven, whom shall I send? And Isaiah saying, here I am, send me. He volunteered before he ever knew the mission. Well, the laying out of the mission was go preach to a bunch of people who won't listen to you. Like, he probably reconsidered at that point. His hand was like, woo, me, pick me. And, oops, no. But that's literally the call that was on Isaiah's life. But this is quoted by Jesus and by the early apostles as well. It says, this is Jesus talking. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. That's him. That's Jesus talking about. Yeah, they might have physical senses, but they don't have spiritual senses, right? In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Well, that just flipped on us. Go back to the other one. That's a good verse, but No, you go back to the Matthew 13. And you literally flip to another verse on that. Or it did it to you. I don't know. Stupid technology. I left my Bible in the car. I'm not doing very good. All right. Here we go. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. I would argue that's kind of the three things we talked about. Hearing, seeing, feeling, if you will. Yeah. And turn, and I would heal them. Now, I love that. You develop the spiritual senses, then Jesus gets to do stuff. I'll heal them. The work of God happens when we tune in to his spirit. And then keep reading, if it lets you flip it. But blessed are your eyes. This is talking to disciples, the people. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. That's us. Your eyes see, your eyes hear. There's something different about followers of Jesus Christ. We have his spirit. We can see, we can hear, we can feel, if you will. All right, I'm going to close in prayer here in a minute. This one's for my son Ben, who really likes comic books and superheroes. So every superhero story, like every origin story, has like all of a sudden they discover they have a power, right? And there's like usually three phases. So like, what do we do with this idea that the Holy Spirit in us gives us a greater understanding to the spiritual world around us? What do we do with that? So every superhero story, when they just have superpowers, there's three phases. There's discovery. You're all thinking of whether it's Spider-Man or Superman, figuring out they got powers kind of thing. There's discovery. That's like being aware that this is real. This is available. Development. I'm giving you three D's, okay? Discovery. Development. There's always a training montage of some sort where there's a little bit of trial and error. There's a little learn and growing. And that's going to happen in our spiritual growth. We need to, yes, be aware of it. We need to develop it. And then third, there's deployment. Deployment. It's using it for a mission. Using it to save the world. Using it to accomplish the mission of Jesus Christ. So my question to you, would you just stand with me? We're gonna close by singing Open the Eyes of My Heart, but how many of you want to discover and develop and deploy spiritual senses in your life? If that's you, take that hand, put it on your heart, and just sing the first verse with me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. One more time. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Lord, I pray over your church. I pray the prayer of Elisha. Open our eyes that we may see. Lord, we want to hear. We want to be like you said of your disciples. Not you. You can see. You can hear. And Lord, we pray that there would be an unveiling in our lives, a discovery of your Holy Spirit at work in us and through us. Lord, that there would be a development, that we learn to tune in to that voice. We learn to see what you're showing us, that we would learn to sense and discern. And Lord, I pray that ultimately, that we would deploy the empowerment that you've given us, that we might be your witnesses, that we might represent you to this world. And so, Lord, pray that you would fill us and use us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. And remember, we're just laying groundwork for August 1st, right? We're going to just wait on Him.